Okay, I'm going to break in here right here and tell these people what you did to me. I get a...
I sent you a beautiful picture. I thought of you.
She sent me a picture with a text message of this decorative platter, but you really couldn't tell, you know, from my picture. I was like, what is this? And she said, hey, just found a decorative platter of the Whore of Babylon and thought of you. That, people, is how you know when it's a really good friend. So... my preacher happened to be close. I said, look what she did. I told my preacher on you.
You showed your preacher the Whore of Babylon sure platter?
Did. I did. I put it on Facebook and said, look what this
fool has done to me.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
No, no.
Oh, my word.
Half 10 days are gone.
Oh.
It's over. Well, how was DC?
Oh, it was real good. It was real
good, I'll say.
It was real good. Should we just get in? Is this, are we started?
Let's go. Yeah, let's start. What are we? Episode 49. Episode 49.
You need to stay in one place by your mic. You can't be like doing this. You gotta sort of stay.
What if I don't want to? I'm hyper. I don't like it.
You are full of energy, I have to say.
Ooh,
welcome
crazy.
Everybody. Sorry, we just got right in here. Yeah. But Joni's looking real cute. She's got her little blue outfit on and a grown-up necklace and
that my sister made.
Oh, is that a streety necklace?
It's a streety necklace.
It's cute.
Yes.
It's cute with what you have on. Yes. So
it is. Excellent. So episode 49, but I did realize the other day that we have been doing this a year. This is not 52 episodes.
Right.
Because we've skipped, but we have been doing this over a year now.
Yeah, we have. And we've just taken a couple, really just a two off, it seems. I thought it was more than that.
No, we've taken more. We've taken
three.
More than two.
I was going to say, we've done at least three off.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking, wait a minute, that can't be right. But yeah, but that's pretty good for your first year to get, we'll hit 50 right about at our year, between 50 and 51, right about when we recorded. And then I think we started releasing them in late August. I'm not sure.
I think so.
That sounds right. Let's just go with that. But designer cornbread is going strong. Sure. Well, I've been to DC. Joni was just asking, as y'all heard on here, how DC was, and it was fantastic. I always love going there. I love going there. I just love to see all the stuff, you know, all the
history is really, it's really fascinating. It's just nice.
It really is. And there's so much to do and so much to see. We went to go see Thatcher and see where he's living and all that. So that was, of course, the highlight was just to get to spend time with him and see his little crashed in his little tiny apartment. And, which is perfect for him.
Did Tim fit in it?
He did, but barely.
Okay.
He did. And thank goodness it's on the top floor, the third floor of the little apartment building. So the ceiling is high and vaulted and really nice. And so that makes you feel like, oh, okay, you know, there's a lot more space and good for Thatch too, just because he's tall. So that just kind of makes you feel good. So yeah, no, that was delightful. And I mean, where do I begin? I'll just kind of give you some highlights and you can just chime in as you want. But you know, we did several things. We tried to kind of do things that we hadn't done maybe on our last trip there, just, you know, to hit some different things. So we did pop over to the National Gallery, spent a little more time there than we did last time. We just kind of blew through it. So that was really fun. Just beautiful art. I mean, Rubens and, you know, Renoir and all the, it was just, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to see all that. So I love that.
Okay. I'm going to break in here here and tell these people what you did to me. I get a...
I sent you a beautiful picture. I thought of you.
She sent me a picture with a text message of this decorative platter, but you really couldn't tell, you know, from my picture. I was like, what is this? And she said, hey, just found a decorative platter of the Whore of Babylon and thought of you. That, people, is how you know when it's a really good friend. So my preacher happened to be close. I said, look what she did. I told my preacher on you.
You showed your preacher the Whore of Babylon platter?
I did. I put it on Facebook and said, look what this
I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't see that. Well, you know, I was just going through the art and there was this beautiful case full of these gorgeous, all I can say is decorative platters, because I don't think they were things that you would use, but I don't know. And there was different scenes and things on them. And the one I was like, well, what's that one? And it was the Whore of Babylon. And I was like, well, because sometimes you need a Whore of Babylon platter to complete
your set. Would totally serve you your dinner on
I mean, I didn't know I would have registered for that when I got married. But anyway, I didn't know that was an option.
No. Evidently, we were pretty naive. We need to look at some options, maybe for anniversaries.
Maybe
we need
so.
To register again.
Maybe so. Maybe coming up, maybe like 30 year, we can, you know, redo some stuff. I don't even know, but I did. I did send that to her. Not going to lie.
Thinking of you.
Thinking of you. I knew you'd like it. Then we went over to the American Museum of American History. So these are all in the Smithsonian. You know, these are all on the mall. And it's, you know, it's so I'm sorry. If y'all can hear guitar.
Oh, I can't hear it.
Okay, good. Okay, good. It's my son. Anyway, these are all in the Smithsonian system all around the mall. And as you know, most of you know if you've been there, but they're all free. So it's just like, you feel like it's, just such a place of, there's so much to do and look at. And I mean, it's, you know, expensive to go there maybe to travel and stay, but the stuff you can do is free. Now, sometimes you have to get tickets. Sometimes they're time delayed, you know, all that kind of time tickets and all that. But anyway, so we went to the History of American History Museum, which I hadn't been in maybe ever. And it was delightful. Tim and I just went, Thatcher was working that day. So we checked it out and it's just all these different, you know, artifacts. It's not art, a little bit in there, but of different things in American history. So, you know, we got to see Lincoln's hat that he was wearing when he got shot at the Ford Theater. They had his top hat in this case. And you're just looking at it going, that was on his head.
That was on his head. I mean, it really is amazing. It really.
And it's sitting right here and I'm looking at it. Yeah. It stuff like that. It just blows your mind. So that was really cool. And then the other kind of another exhibit there that I liked was, all the president. We went straight up to the president and first lady area first because we knew we, you know, didn't have a ton of time because they were going to close at 5 or whatever. But we wanted to make sure to see that. So we were looking through all those presidential kind of things. And they're, you know, you're just reading all these amazing facts and details on these artifacts. And, you know, I look at this one. There's this folder and it's the, I don't know what you call it, the packet or the whatever from the Camp David Accord back in Jimmy Carter's day. You know, we were but young, tiny babes, but which was where he had brokered the meeting with Sadat, the president of Egypt, and Menachem Begin, the prime minister of Israel. And this was a major, for those of you young people, but all of you our age and above will know, it was a major peace accord between those two countries. It was like a big, probably the biggest thing Carter did. I would say that's kind of what he's most known. And there was the folder with some stuff in from that peace accord. Now later, of course, pretty shortly later, Sadat was assassinated and shot in Egypt. So anyway, it was all that, was just that piece of history. And then right next to that was just a little card with the menu from the dinner that the Reagans had with Gorbachev at the White House after they signed the, I think it was the nuclear force treaty or agreement or whatever that, a big, again, really ending the Cold War.
Right.
And there was the menu, the little dinner menu.
Of course. That's what I tell all my culinary students. Hospitality has a lot of power.
Matters. You might sign a nuclear agreement and then you got to treat the guy to dinner. And so
that's right.
Just the
nuances. Some of those agreements come during dinner.
That's true. Because,
y'all, something happens when you sit down and you eat with people.
Yes,
bonds
ma'am.
Are made. It yes. is a, and that's actually why the Bible says, don't eat with, you know, these people, with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Don't even sit down and eat with them, because when you eat with them, you bond with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
you do.
It's a powerful, dinner is a powerful
it
thing.
It is. It really is. And just to see that little teeny unimportant, the menu, you know, yeah. is that yeah. important? Except no, except it humanizes. It just
it yes
makes it yeah. human. You're like, oh, and then they sat down and they, you know, had dinner. So that was yeah. that was really cool. There was the original Kermit the Frog puppet, which oh, I'll post a picture.
Yeah.
And he was so cute, Joni.
Yes.
He was little. And the sleeve that he put his hand up in was like a jeans, like a blue jean, you know,
okay. yeah.
pants. And he yeah. was so tiny, and it was just so cute. And he was kind of scuffed up on his little eyeballs. And it said on there that Jim Henson made the original out of an old green coat of his mom's. And that's,
and that's it. You know, there's a rumor about Kermit. Do you know this?
No.
Have I told you this story? So
I don't know.
You know, Jane Head, our camp director, was from Stoneville, somewhere down in the Delta.
Uh-huh.
Or Leland, maybe it was Leland.
Leland, wherever I believe.
Leland. Mm-hmm. So wherever she was from, that's also where Jim Henson lived when he was young. And he had a young friend named Kermit. And
oh, you have told me this.
So there's some debate, and I'm sure, you know, Jim Henson said, no, it's not named after Kermit, but you know, come on, it
How
is.
Many
and
Kermits
I think it's just
know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
there's not a lot.
I'm
of
sure
comments.
There's some just a legality that he had to deny.
Well,
that that's
or
who it
maybe
was,
just
but,
didn't want to make him feel weird. But it,
yeah,
it was the who cutest knows? Little puppet and his little froggy fingers. They were so cute.
Oh, and then when Kermit the Frog died, and or when Jim Henson died.
Oh gosh, I was like, what?
When Jim Henson died, Jim Henson died. You know, and he was the uh-huh. voice of Kermit. He was uh-huh. he was Kermit. That's why I say that. But and then Big Bird came out. And saying it's not easy being green, and said goodbye, Kermie. Ah,
why did he do that?
I was gone.
Just, but not on like
at
Sesame
Jim
Street.
Henson's funeral.
Oh,
no,
at his funeral.
The funeral.
Okay, because I can't yes. handle like Kermit dying and Big Bird singing that. I mean,
yeah,
I might not make it.
No. Oh, I was bawling. I'm a grown adult, and I
would be too
bawling.
Oh, I can't yeah. even. But yeah. so we saw Kermit, and that was precious. And they had all kinds of, they have an exhibit going right now that's like pop, like culture and entertainment. So there's just kind of one section that was all kind of crazy different stuff. We saw one of Prince's guitars. We saw the hockey gloves from one of the players in the 1980 Olympic hockey team, which of course Tim teared up immediately when he saw those. I'm like, okay, get over, settle down. we saw just a smattering of like interesting things throughout costumes of some costumes from stuff in movies that I had no idea what they were. But anyway,
yeah.
And then we got down, there's an exhibit there, very, I guess one of the most popular, but you can go and see, and it's beautifully done. There's a beautiful sculpture outside of it, of the flag. I'll probably post, I'll do social media stuff about this, but,
okay.
The Star Spangled Banner, the original, the flag.
Oh, wow.
That was raised
wow.
over Fort McHenry.
Yeah.
And it's in this, you know, just a very small, you kind of go in and look at some history, and then you're in the dark room and it's stretched out very dark. And then the words to the Star Spangled Banner are just above it, and it's
and
all,
you know,
tattered. And
kudos to those people who thought to keep it.
Well, yeah. And
you know,
there was a story about that, because it, and I didn't read the entire thing, but apparently it got passed down to someone's grandson who, you know, whose grandfather, whatever, got it somehow. I can't remember that part of the story. I didn't read that part, but, and he got it. And then it's been on display. Like, they hung it outside the Smithsonian Castle, which is the red brick kind of original building on the mall there. That's, no longer, I think it's under renovation, but anyway, it was hung like outside to there for a while, just outside in the air. It's been, cause people were clamoring for him to, they wanted to see it. So anyway, it's been in various different methods of display, but now it's really in a darkened, you know, more preserving. Because for a while, right, it just hung in this museum, just like out, and you're just like, yeah, okay, guys. But that was really special, actually. And you can sit there. It's very neat how it's displayed. There's kind of a nice long bench around the alcove. So you can just sit and be quiet. And, you know, that's one of the things I love about when museums do things like that, yeah, for certain exhibits, when they just give you that moment of time to reflect,
right,
and absorb what you're seeing and stuff. So that was, anyway, we saw the Star Spangled Banner, which was very cool. Then on, let's see, we did the nighttime bus tour, open top, and see all the stuff at night, which is so fun. I always recommend that to anybody, any city you go to, any town you go to, small, big, if it's a trolley, if it's a, you know, open air bus, if it's a whatever, and especially if you don't have a lot of time, or even more towards the beginning of your stay, if you do have time, they just give such a good overview. Like you can, this one was great. It took us really all the way into Virginia and back and through Georgetown and down to the, you know, so like, then you can go later and go, oh, I want to go there. And mm-hmm, we wanted to go there. So that was fun. And then Friday or Saturday, we went to the Holocaust Museum. So we did that with Thatcher. Yeah. He hadn't done that. And that, of course, as we talked about before, you know, Joni shared her,
It's very good, mm-hmm, but it's very hard.
It is. It is. We were there. It took us about 3.5 hours,
yeah,
to get through it. Cause we really, it was crowded, I will say, cause it was Saturday, then. And, so it was pretty crowded even with the timed tickets. Especially the first part, as you all kind of get in, it's very crowded, okay, and really, but that loosens up and it's okay. So I guess I would say, you know, first of all, don't, you know, this is definitely one that you want to go when you have time, you know, yes, it's not like
it's
the
not
other,
a run through. Yeah. It's not
a run through. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but, and it's also not one like as easily that some of the museums you could pop in and go like, you know, the art museum or the natural history, you can be like, let's just do this floor or this section this time, or let's, you know, this one, there's floors that go to the different, like the lead up to the war and then the atrocities, all the encampments and all that stuff. And then the liberation on the bottom floor. So, but it's not really, you can't get out easy. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can, but anyway, it's really something you want to do, at one time if you can. I'll just say, I won't say a ton about it, but it's lots of reading. I mean, it's informational, but that, I don't say that to discourage or in a bad way. And I'm sure there's, if you have trouble reading or anything like that, I think they have a, listening kind of things you can do, or if you're, you know, blind or anything like that, but it's a lot of, it's a very educational, there's reading and then there's pictures and film, lots of video, lots of film, which is really cool, to see all the different, you know, and that's why it takes a while, because you're reading the things. And so, but just to kind of know that, and that's what it is, but it was really good. Like I didn't, you know, so it's not a lot of artifacts. There's a few things, you know, there's a few things for sure. There's definitely, especially in the concentration camp area, they had a lot of, reproductions and castings and some artifacts and different things on that. So, but it's a lot of reading, and film and pictures, which is very powerful though. Really, really powerful. Yeah. There was one quote, of course, tons of quotes around, all kinds of fascinating, leads to great discussion. If you're with a group of older kids, again, young kids in this it's just not because it's necessary. Some of it would be not probably, I would say, appropriate for young kids just because, and they, like the certain videos, even they make it hard to see. Did you notice that? Like you have to be standing up and looking down. So like little kids in strollers can't, which was very well done. So you can definitely bring, you know, but just know that, you know,
but these were atrocious things. And,
and
frankly, children don't need to.
It's no good at a certain age. Now they're older and you're learning and you're educating them. And I saw several parents, different time, a dad was kind of explaining like they were about to go in this section. And he was like, kind of summarizing and re-explaining. So here's what happened. They told them they were going to get on these train cars to go live somewhere else, but they didn't. They took them on these train cars and they killed them. You know, so parents doing such a great job of with their, you know, older elementary to and up kind of age kids. And you can really, you can decide what, how you want to do that. But like little kids and strollers and all that, you know, I would be like, it would just be hard for you to enjoy, really absorb it, but do what you want to do. But there was a quote, one quote that, that I read, I took a picture of the little thing it was on. And this was a quote just from the information. It wasn't like somebody said this. It was just a quote that, that they were talking about, excuse me, in the propaganda section. You know, there's a whole section on all the propaganda. It's fascinating, y'all. It's just,
it is
the way they've sectioned it to talk about the different topics were really, really interesting. And it just said on one of the plaques, it said, the Nazis used propaganda along with terror to manipulate the German population. In the hands of Hitler's Minister for Public Enlightenment and Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, Nazi propaganda was simplistic, emotional, repetitive, and uncompromising. Mm-hmm. And it just, I just want to leave that little, you know, quote from that little plaque thing, just because it really struck me so much. And Tim and I talked about that as we were walking along, and I thought, that's just so, that's so true.
Yeah.
Those four things are very interesting. Simple. You got to keep it simple. You know, you can't be too above people's heads. It has to be emotional, whether that's fear or, you know, pride or whatever those emotions are.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? Repetitive, just over and over,
over and over.
And the kids, as they were growing and they were training, and over and over. And then the last one is just that uncompromising. So no compromise from what you're saying. And I just thought that was a real good
guide. Seeing a lot of that today.
Yeah, it was a real good guide. Those words were a very good guide for me to think about what I hear and how it's presented, and just how those kind of almost took those as four principles of to just kind of raise a little red flag when you, not necessarily everything, but especially the uncompromising one. A lot of times that can be a, on all sides, that can come from religion, that can come from, you know, I could say a lot of religious, entities would fit into this category. Yeah. A lot of the way people were raised in different religious environments have been, you know, simple, emotional, repetitive, and uncompromising. So take that for whatever you want to do with it.
And, you know, So one of my takeaways from the Holocaust Museum was after I went through and I looked, you know, of course they did all this testing on people. Mm, they did all this, and that was very difficult to see and on babies and on, but I thought, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily the act as what it leads to.
Mm, okay. What do you mean?
And specifically I was thinking about like euthanasia. That sounds, I mean, you've watched your mother suffer. Mm-hmm. I've watched my dad suffer. You know, and if my dog suffered like that, I'd put him down. You know, we'd go to the vet and have him put to sleep. And so euthanasia and those mercy kind of killings, sometimes on the surface don't, you know, they seem good.
Right.
They seem, you know, put him out of his misery.
Sure.
Make this pain stop.
Sure.
But when you compromise life, it leads to basically a lot of the stuff that we saw in the Holocaust.
Yes.
But there is no sanctification of life. That's what it leads to.
You're exactly right. In fact, that was exactly one of the things that I learned that I didn't connect before was that it started off, it talks about the people that, the medical people and the doctors that participated in really, besides the experiments kind of later in the camps and stuff, but the the euthanasia or whatever you want to call it, I wouldn't even call it that because they called it that. But killing started with children and babies. In orphanage, you know, like hospital orphanages.
Yes.
And if they were at all, of course, disabled or anything like that, but it wasn't even that. It really started with these children. And then one of the doctors or people, I don't know if he was actually, I think he was a doctor, got the idea that this method would be a very convenient and easy method to kill adults too. And that's how they kind of got the ideas for the gas chambers and how to do. And that's exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say they weren't putting these children out of their misery for their own, because they felt like they were helping them. I mean, maybe they said that, but
it's all testing. One of the things that stood out to me that, I mean, it literally about made me sick in the Holocaust Museum was one of the tests was they cut open, now without any pain medication, they cut up open a pregnant woman's belly and took her baby out. And the study was just to watch the reaction on her face. That was the study.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to wrap your mind around. And we had good conversations later, when we were Thatch and Tim and I, and just kind of like how individuals can get to that point where they are okay doing that. It's hard for us to imagine. And yet there's a kernel of that in all of us. But yet they also had movies towards the end of Survivors, which is just unbelievable. They had some people telling stories, and one of the guy told a story of a fellow he was with in the camp. And the guy was, I think it was near Yom Kippur, and the guy was praying under his breath and praying. And so this guy asked him, he said, what are you praying? What are you saying? And he said, I'm praying, it's a prayer of gratitude to God. And the guy was like, what are you talking about? What are you grateful for? Yeah. And he said, I'm grateful that God did not make me like these men, that they would do this. I'm grateful he didn't make me that. And I, take your theology however you want, but it's just a prayer of like, just it's unimaginable. So, I would, again, highly, highly recommend. And in fact, one thing too, that I thought was really, before we even went into the museum part, we were just in the lobby, and the whole structure of it too, it's very, as most of these museums, the old ones and the new ones, the architecture, the structure, all that is always very interesting. And this was designed to look very industrial, very red brick, very reminiscent of the architecture in some of the camps and places. And you get in this elevator and it's, very industrial, and, there's remnants of that kind of design. But before we even went up, I saw there was a picture of a security guard on a wall, a youngish fellow, I don't know, maybe in his 30s, but anyway, and a memorial to him. And I'm sorry, I can't remember his name now, or I would say it, but because back in 2010, while he was being a security guard at that place, a anti-Semitic, hateful, racist person came up and was trying to cause trouble and attacking, and shot him and killed him. A security guard at that. And the security there is very, they're outside, they mean it. And I thought, and they had a beautiful, picture to him and a tribute to him, as they should. But I was like, other museums don't have that.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't have a plaque. Some may. Okay. I don't know the whole wide world, but I'm just saying there's not, they don't. The other museums don't. The guards there, of course, there's crackpots. There's people that all do kind of crazy stuff, and I'm sure they've had to handle a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you guard this museum, I think you have a much different level of
hate coming at
of
you.
Hate that can come at you, that can cause people to do crazy things. And I just thought, that's a shame. But anyway, so we did that in the morning because we were like, we wanted to do that first of all, just to take our time. Or I guess it wasn't. We didn't get in until noon. That was when our ticket was for, which was great. Cause then we just knew we didn't want it to be the last thing of the day. We kind of wanted to lighten up a little bit. I don't even know what we did after that. Yeah, and process together. I think we walked around. I don't know. I'm not sure what else we did after that. Oh, I know what we did. Oh, yeah. And then we went and we... Oh, yeah, we went back up to Georgetown. We hung out in Georgetown. And so we went up there. It's beautiful. Just a lovely. Just that these places exist. It's just beautiful, historic, all the different things. And we went by this little canal and we saw this little boat go down a little lock and dam, like by hand, little like they have in Oxford and England and all that. And that was cool. And then we sat and had some beverages and snack. And guess who met us and we went to dinner with?
David Bridgeforth.
That's right. We had dinner with David Bridgeforth, which is a good friend of ours that just for years and years, but he was a camper back at the camp that we went to. And we've kept up over the years. He's always, you know, kept up with us and
David, anyway. I will tell you, David was a terror camper that turned out to be one of our favorite campers.
Yes, he's delightful.
He is.
So we had a really good time. We just got caught up. He got to meet Thatcher. He recommended we went. He drove. He blessed his heart. We went to dinner. This great little Mexican place that he knew, you know, being a local, he lives there, you know, so he knew like a good spot, of course. And then he takes us around and basically gives us a whole little tour all around Georgetown, all around Embassy Row, all around here's where the Obamas live. Here's where, you know, this
had your
person
own personal tour guide.
We did. We had our own personal. We went by the Exorcist steps of the movie The Exorcist, saw where the priest got thrown down there, the apartment that you young people won't have any idea what we're talking about. The apartment that was Kevin Costner's character in No Way Out. Did you ever see No Way Out?
I can't remember. It's one
of my favorite movies of I love. In fact, that night when we got back home at like 10:30 at Thatcher's apartment, we watched it because he hadn't seen it. We're like, we're watching No Way Out. It takes place in DC. It's a whole like suspense-y, like
I feel
spy.
Like I've seen it.
You probably have. Kevin Costner and the girlfriend dies and he's getting food and it's a whole.
I didn't miss many Kevin Costner movies.
I know, honey. It was in 87. That's what I'm saying. And you need to see this one with him because that man can wear a uniform. He can wear a uniform. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so his apartment from that. And then later that night when we watched the movie, because there was parts in it, guys, there was some parts in it that I didn't remember at the beginning. Some booby parts. There were some booby parts and some sexual parts that I remembered a little bit, but anyway, I don't know if the version I saw was like the blockbuster rated, you know, whenever my friends and I rented it.
The 80s started kind of coming out with that stuff. Remember,
but still,
the first one I remember going, oh my gosh, do you remember Kramer versus Kramer?
I never saw it. I didn't see that.
I mean, she comes out like, naked. And it's I didn't remember. Okay.
I literally just did not. I knew there was a little bit of a scene between the.
Yeah.
Anyway, but anyway, whatever. All that is to say, we were watching that and there's a scene where Costner is running away from these guys and he's running all down the street. It takes place at the Pentagon. Thatcher lives like right by near the Pentagon.
Yeah.
In Arlington. But anyway, he's running down this path and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, along this canal water thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, we were just on that. That's the path we walked down to get to this restaurant. And he goes in the doors that we went right in the doors to the garage with David Bridgeforth to get to his car. And I'm like, look at us. And Thatcher was like, oh my gosh, we were right there. So we were big nerds and thought that was very fun.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I was talking about. David Bridgeforth, wonderful. It was a great night. Had our own personal tour and they took us back to Thatcher's and it was delightful. So there you go.
Well, while you were living it up in DC, I had to work the jamboree.
The jamboree?
Do you know what jamboree is? Do you all have those up there?
No, so I don't think. Is that a scout thing?
No, no. Oh, well, there is a jamboree scout. Oh, okay. But this is football.
Oh,
and when I was young, it used to be like all of the football teams from, you know, different parts of your West Tennessee or whatever your region would all show up and they would play like a quarter or two.
Oh, okay.
Depending, they would, you know, you'd get just a little sampling. So, but now it's kind of changed in that now our freshmen, our junior high, our middle school team played. Our freshman team played. Our junior varsity played.
Oh, wow.
And our varsity played.
Oh.
And Joni Shank was stuck in the hot box taking up money for tickets.
Joni.
It was 120 degrees, I am telling you.
Joni.
And the place was named. They hadn't cleaned out the box yet. So I got like a rag and I was cleaning off the counter. And I mean, it just turned to mud.
I'm
like,
oh.
Okay.
Why hadn't they gotten in there and cleaned that out?
They did put a fan in there.
Oh, thank God.
But the face of it was off. So like if I had like stuck my elbow out.
And then I lost a finger.
The other side, there's like two boxes. And so another couple of teachers were on the other side. And she came over to my side and she said, oh, she said, I thought mine was bad. This place is nasty. I said, I am pretty sure that something is going to come crawling out and like eat me before the night is over.
There could have been a snake up in there. There could have been all kinds of stuff up in there.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Well, so, you get a prize for
listen,
that.
Wait, the band does the concession. And I had to walk in there. Little concession thing. They've been doing it for years. It's the band still. I walked in. They had air conditioning up in there. And I thought, you know, good and darn well, if the band can afford air conditioning and the concession, somebody in that athletic department darn well better be getting some air conditioning and those money boxes.
That's right. That's exactly right. You tell them, Joni.
I threatened. And then
we're going to talk bad about them on Designer Quick Thread till they fix it.
Yes. When you work the gate at in regular season, you're there till about halftime and they come and, you know, get the box. And
right. You're done.
You're done. No. I sat through they played two quarters of the middle school football game, two quarters of the freshman football game, two quarters of the junior varsity, and then at about halftime of the high school game, they let us go home.
That's like two full football games. You were there two quarters. I mean, that
and
was
120 degrees. Listen. It was,
and you're a menopausal woman.
Listen,
they can't be doing that to you.
I threatened the guy. I said, I am about to like not cook for the press box. He said, hold up here now.
I don't know how you made it. I really don't, Joni.
It was bad. It was bad.
One flash, you could have been out. You could have been down, out. Oh, that sounds terrible.
I was sticky. I mean, it's just so humid here. I don't know what it's like in St. Louis, but
it's bad here. It wasn't as bad in D.C. Humidity. It was hot, but it wasn't bad.
It is like sucking in water when you go outside. And again, EPA, you're on my bad side.
Oh, yeah. I also sent you a picture of the EPA.
Yes.
Sign of the EPA department.
Listen,
I said, look at your favorite people.
Paper. I went to hand out my safety papers today to my kids and they were just damp. It was wet. It's awful. It's awful.
Well, you just got to grin and bear it. You got to grin and bear it. It sounds terrible. Your experience was definitely terrible. The only upside is that we're getting closer to football season. I mean, that's all I can.
Oh, football season for us starts Friday.
Okay. I didn't know when the first game practices were going.
Game is Friday, but I did get it out of the way. I don't have to work the gate again for the rest of the.
Okay.
So it's done, but.
Yeah, but you might should have worked it later in the season is next year. Like, let someone else clean it out, number one. It'll be all nice by the time if you do it later in the year. And it won't be so hot.
It was terrible.
Nightmares. Well, yeah. Good grief.
I mean, school is starting off with a bang. I had one night I had open house and then had to work the jamboree and this week came and I thought, you know, I don't really have anything at night this week. That's good.
Until
I am sophomore class sponsor and they have to get their window painted. Ms. Shank, can you stay with us on Tuesday or Wednesday? Yeah, because you got to have a sponsor up there with
them. Yeah. You don't want them just running amok, sophomores. Well, that at least will be inside. Or is it outside? You paint
well,
inside.
Well, they'll be outside. I can stay inside.
But you can sit there and just look at
them. Some work done. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. Oh, my goodness. Full swing. Look at you.
It is.
Man. I will say, I'm going to get a little bit. So I just want one request. I have a request of younger parents. And this is a serious, and I don't mean to sound like a complete old fart. I really don't, but, and I don't think I don't know if our listeners are probably don't skew super young with young kids. But let me tell you, just real quickly, we were in Arlington. We were doing the trolley tour thing to get up to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and all that anyway. And these two precious little boys, little tiny, I mean, like 3 and 4. Cute little boys. Anyway, they were on it with their mom and dad and the stroller and all that. Anyway, and it's hot. It was pretty hot that day. But they got off at one of the stops, which is the Arlington house that you can go in, which is the plantation house that was there, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. These little boys get off, and each one of them has strapped to their hand with a strap, a smartphone. Mm-mm. Okay. These are little. Now listen, people, I want you to hear me. I want you to take a knee. Everybody take a knee. Coach Holly. I'm really, truly, this is not to degrade. I almost thought about not saying, but I'm like, listen, if we don't start saying some things, that are important, you know, then who knows if this is an encouragement, and I mean it as an encouragement from someone who has raised 3 children. Now it was not an option when we had kids. So I will, with all understanding and humility, say those smartphones and all that did not exist till our kids were a little older. these little boys got off of this thing and did not look up. The one immediately got in the stroller, the older one, and put the shade down over and stared at his phone. And the other little one is walking, just staring at this device, walking. Now listen. And they did not stop staring at him the whole time we were sitting there watching them walk up the hill. They're in this beautiful setting. Now listen, I'm going to caveat this by saying, I don't know everyone's circumstances. And I don't know every kid, and I'm not trying to make blankets. Well, I'm kind of making a blanket statement, but what I want to say is there are always exceptions. There are people doing sometimes that I may see that I don't understand the whole picture. So I do want to caveat that. If you're taking your little kid through the Holocaust Museum and you really, it's your only time to go and you really just want to see how much you can kind of see and read, and they're in a little wagon or stroller and you want to give them a little thing to watch, that probably is a, you know, like, yeah. Okay. But here we are outside on this tour and all this, and these little children, I mean, he was not even walking. They're strapped onto their hands. They've got little straps to hold them, so they don't even have to ever put them down. They can just have them on their little hands. One jumped in the stroller. Okay. Guys, parents, this is damaging your children. Yeah. And again, please, please, please hear my heart. I am not saying every circumstance. So I'm not sitting around looking around and going, oh my gosh, your kid touched a thing. But these are healthy little boys, the family, mom, dad. I know they love each other. I know they're there. They're at this beautiful place. Listen, number one, know the limits of your kids. Like, there's a limit to what little ones can do in a hot place full of gravestones that they don't care about and all that. Okay. I completely understand that they might be not the thrill of their life to come here. But the things that that kids are missing because they are not forced to look around,
well, here's the thing. It's just not even
be astonishing. It's astonishing.
It's not even what they're missing. It is the brain development that's not taking place.
It's not happening. It's literally not. My kids would probably get on here and be like, "Mom, you're being." I'm like, "No."
Well, you know, there's one thing for teenagers. It's another thing for little children whose brains are developing. Yeah. And that's what people don't get, is that this is damaging to brain development. And I tell my kids, so
it just hurts.
We take a personality test mm-hmm. like the first week of school. When I first started 8 years ago, I had 80% extroverts and 20% introverts. A few years later, it went to about 50-50. Yeah,
I remember you mentioned this. Yep.
Right. Changed. And now I have like that. We just finished it this week. I have one extrovert and everybody else was introverts in my first period class.
Yep.
Y'all, when you take your kids through the grocery store, I know, Lord help me. I know it's easier. It's
That's
so
what I'm
easy
saying. We understand this. Yeah. We did not have the option. Yeah. Would we have been perfect at it? You know, I was that kind of weird mom though, and kind of granola and homeschooly. So I would have been like, no, like I didn't let my kids have, but now in this culture, I know it's a different,
learning and now they're learning that this does affect brain development.
Of course it does. You don't have to do a study to know that.
Heed that warning. Well, but when it all first came out, people didn't know. This or that.
I knew when it first came out. Well, it's common sense. It's common.
You're above average. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are just trying to get through the day. They're trying to get through the grocery store.
I know.
They're trying
to. And listen, I understand that too. Because like I said, I don't know every circumstance.
Kids need to see things that you don't think they need to see. They need to see how the produce is organized. They need to see how the cans are organized. They need to, flirt with the little old lady that oohs and goos and gahs over them.
Or, you know, exactly. And just like I'm saying, these little, and I really hope my heart comes through here, but I am going to be very, you cannot convince me otherwise. That these were not any kind of whatever healthy young boys. Yeah. And the one, and I'm saying they could be tired and hot. Like I said, know the limit. I'm not saying you have to if they want to sit in their stroller and rest and sleep and do all, absolutely. They may need that, but instead they're just being stimulated by this thing. And you know what? They're at this beautiful plantation house. It doesn't matter that it's historic. They don't know or care about that. But there's plants, there's clouds in the sky. They're going to look out over this thing. There's bugs. There's whatever to look at. There are things to absorb and enjoy and look at. Is it going to be the thrill of their life? Probably not. Mom and dad, does it take effort and energy? Yes, it does. And I know this because you know how I know it? Because I did it. And I don't say that to be, you know me, I do not want to put myself above at all. I promise you. It was hard sometimes. I was not perfect. I am not perfect. I did not do it perfectly at all. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you right now, young parents with young children, please, please resist putting your kids in front of those screens because you know it's not for them. It's for you. And I'm going to just say it. Hot take. Right. It's for you because you want to look at what you want to look at in peace. Don't want to be bothered that your kid is being a bother. And I understand that. And like I said, there's times, listen, if you need to get through that grocery store and you've had a crazy day and you're feeling like you're on the edge of, I absolutely do what you need to do.
And I am saying that I'm seeing the side effects of it. Yeah. I'm the one in front of your teenagers every day who cannot have a conversation with the person beside them, who cannot look up from their screens on their phone. It's a constant battle to try to learn anything in school because they can't pull out of a screen.
It really is. And when they're young, like we said, they're little bitty. They're three. They're four. There's nothing. You are the screen. The world is the screen that they need to be looking at so they can have questions, be bored, wonder about that. Ask you whatever, all the things. And like I said, we all know, we've all done it. Our kids get worn out and they're tired and we've pushed them too far. And,
there's a lot to be said for boredom. And I have to wonder now, I mean, when we would get bored, I would draw. I would go dank around on the piano. I would go outside and shoot baskets. I would go find things to do. I have to wonder how many artists will never develop,
mm-hmm.
how many musicians will never play,
mm-hmm.
how many athletes. And I was talking to our basketball coaches not too long ago, and they said the kids that are our first string right now, 20 years ago, they'd have been on the bench.
Yep.
Now, y'all, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
It is. And I, you know, again, to hate to, but that was just my observation. And it's so shocking to me. And these are lovely. Again, they love their kid. I know they love their kids. I know there's no question about any of that. I know it's easy, but these were little boys. And the one got me was the one jumped in front of his little brother. As soon as that stroller was snapped open, he plopped himself down. Little brother was mad because he didn't get to sit in the stroller. And sitting in the stroller is not a problem. They're tired. They got little tiny legs. And he had his little hand. These screens were attached to their little hands. So they couldn't even put them down. Mm-hmm. They could. They could take them off, but I'm sure they don't want to. And then he pulled that sunshade down and dark over him, and he was like gone. And the other one was walking, could not walk up the path, couldn't walk up the path because he was looking at his screen, and he's legit 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, I looked over at Tim and Tim was looking at me because he knew I was just like, what in the world? And I don't mean that in a judging way. I know it sounds that way and I know it, but truly that's all I want to say is just please, please. And listen, if you've got kids and you think, well, I've already been doing it. You know, I already screwed up. I gave them screens at 2 and 3 and now they're 4 and I can't take.
Yes, you can.
You can do it. You can do it. Just don't be discouraged. Cause we've all been through the phases of life and different parenting things where I wish I could have done something different. There are for sure things that I didn't do as well as what I wished that I had done with my kids. Start now. Go ahead and start now. Will they be happy about it? Nope. Will they fuss you? Yes. Will they get mad? Maybe, you know, all the things will happen, but I promise you it will be worth it. And even if it's a little bit improvement here and there and just being cognizant of it and doing your best to take little steps towards it, I encourage you, you can do it. You can do it. You're the parent. So that's it for today. It just broke my heart. I know. I'm trying not to be an old fuddy-duddy, but I'm not. Listen, I'm not. We've been through this raising of kids and now we're seeing this shift. And I feel like our duty to say to people, if you're not getting it, like wave the arms and kind of go, hey,
danger, danger, danger.
Hang on. Hey, really? Is this really what the conscious decision, what you want to do? And like I said, I understand. And when you've got to do something because you really need to, for whatever reason, I don't know your circumstance. I don't know all about your life and your child and all the things. So I give grace and I give humility of myself of saying, you know, do what you got to do.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you go get Ted Drews on National Frozen Custard Day?
I didn't.
Well, I have good news for you.
Oh, what?
August 17th, it is National Vanilla Custard Day.
We get a specific Vanilla Custard Day?
Vanilla Custard Day.
Mm-hmm. When is and the 17th? Then, that's coming up this weekend,
that's
right?
Thursday.
Thursday. It's always like a Thursday. I can't go to no Ted Drews on no Thursday.
Well, I'm just giving our podcast drops on Thursday, so I'm giving you the Thursday.
Okay. All right.
If you want me to back up to where we are coming up, National Rum Day is August 16th.
You didn't want me to hear that one.
I was trying to prevent.
She was keeping it away from
to
me.
Help you. Yes.
Mojito.
Okay, here are your other days. National Soft Serve Ice Cream Day, August 18th.
Okay.
National Chocolate Pecan Pie Day, which is a Kentucky Derby pie, is August 20th. And we have that recipe on our
website. That's right. Yes. And that would be really good with a little vanilla custard.
That would be
frozen
good
custard
vanilla
on there.
Custard.
That would be good.
And then August 20th is also National Bacon Lovers Day.
That's my dad's birthday. Well, August 20th is a Bacon Lovers Day.
Yes. Wow. You have time to order some Hitman bacon.
Oh my gosh.
And rosemary garlic bacon. Okay.
21st. That's awesome. Those are really good ones.
Oh, well, I'm not done. We got a whole
saying,
week here.
I'm just saying, yeah. Like, there's nothing
it's
so
not
far.
It's not like National Liver Day or
we're
anything
not having
like
national,
that.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say Brussels sprouts, but I love Brussels sprouts. Yeah. But these are, okay, keep on. Yeah. Bacon. Okay.
Cupcake Day is August 21st.
Oh, my word.
National Pecan Tort Day, August 21st.
Mm.
And you'll have to come down here, National Sweet Tea Day, August 21st.
Wow, that's a lot on one day. Look at all that.
I know, that's a lot. That's a lot. So August 22nd is National Spumoni Day.
Oh, okay.
And National Sponge Cake Day is the 23rd. And National Peach Pie Day is August 24th, along with National Waffle Day. So there you go. There are your food celebrations.
Not a vegetable to be found.
Not a
vegetable.
No.
In the heart of summer.
You do have coming. I'm looking at my list. Coming down in maybe next week is a chop suey day.
Oh, chop suey. Okay. Yeah. Well, look at that. Y'all, look at all those good things you can be thinking about this week.
Day. No. Oh,
my goodness. I love it. I love it. Okay. Give us your, do you have a recipe this week?
Mm-hmm, I do. We're going to do since we're still dealing with the peaches, we're going to do a peach cobbler recipe.
Yum.
And I fixed this. Now, I have always fixed peach cobbler the same way, in that you melt your butter in the pan. You cook your peaches a little bit with some sugar, brown sugar, white sugar, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And put those on top of the butter, and then you make like a, just a mix of flour and sugar and seasoning and all that stuff and milk, pour it over there and bake it.
Kind of seasoning do you
I mean, like nutmeg, whatever you want, cinnamon, nutmeg, whatever you want.
Okay.
Allspice
or something.
Okay. Right. I think I usually just do cinnamon for the most part, but I have added nutmeg and stuff to it before.
Okay.
But my mother comes to eat and she looked at my dessert and she said, "What do you call this?" And I said, "It's peach cobbler."
Peach cobbler.
And she said, "This is not the peach cobbler my mother used to make." And I said, "Well, how did grandmother make peach cobbler? Because now my grandmother could cook." She used pie crust. I said, "That would be a peach pie."
Yeah.
She said, "No, it was a peach cobbler." So I'm going to go dig around. I'm going to go dig around and see if I can find my grandmother's recipe.
That would
be
amazing. I bet it's one of those ones where they cut the pieces of the pie and they put it over top like a lattice.
Still, that would be peach pie.
No, like if it's done in a pan, I've seen people do cobbler and it has like a trellis kind of feel on the top, but it's still in a pan. Maybe that's what she did.
I don't know, but
you need to find it.
She was disturbed that I did not make grandmother's peach cobbler. So I'm going to go try to find my grandmother's peach cobbler recipe and report back.
Do you have all her recipe?
I have a lot of her recipes.
You need to go grab the rest of them. Yeah. Just go. Don't tell your mom. Just go grab them. Okay. Don't listen, Dottie. Okay.
So you
bake it and then you put some a la mode. You put some ice cream on
put some ice cream on top of it. Yep. We did. So that's my recipe.
Excellent. Peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler.
Okay. Are you ready for my top three?
I am ready for your top three.
Top three.
Okay. This week it's kind of travel themed because I used some things that I really liked and that worked well. I got a travel makeup case that I really liked that worked well. It's kind of a hard case. It's, pretty decent size. I like to bring my stuff. And it's got, I do. It's a hard case. So yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And then inside there's like dividers that you can take out and move. They're like foam and you can kind of move. Like I took many of them out.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
You can kind of make sections how you want it. So I think that's kind of cool. And then on the lid inside is a, you can take out and charge is a big lighted mirror.
Oh.
That's really why I got it kind of, because a lot of times I'll go somewhere and I don't have I have a little tiny travel round mirror that I've been using forever, but it's real little, and it doesn't, you know, sometimes you're in a place the light's not the best. So this has a nice rechargeable mirror with different light settings. So like the different, you know, warm and daylight and I think different, it may not have different brightnesses. And then there's a little mirror that's like a zoom up, a 10 times 10 that you can stick on it or use. I don't know, that times 10 one, you got to be careful.
Cause I know that's scary sometimes. Do you remember the Conair? Do you remember that, like the Conair makeup mirror when we
my were sister had one? I never had one. My like, sister
do
had
the
it.
Shades. You could do the,
yes.
You
know, yeah. Yes. It would be yeah. warm. And now I kind of actually, I need to get something like that for my vanity. Cause anyway, I can't see. So anyway, it's a cool makeup case. I'll link it. I'll send the link. And Joni will put it on the website with this thing. But it was kind of an upgrade for what I've been doing. I'm kind of revamping all my travel stuff because I just like it when stuff works. So that worked really well. What else? Oh, and it had a little case in it, like a little flat thing that you could put your brushes in and a little zipper thing. So it seemed to work well. Second thing was a small rolling like small carry-on for the plane. I know there's lots of different, you know, little suitcases and those work great, but I just wanted something like, because I checked my bag, my main bag. So I just needed something that could hold my computer, my books, you know, my travel pillow, just like those little extra, some snack, you know, kind of an extra. So it didn't need to be huge, huge, but I wanted it to roll because nothing is worse than schlepping. I have a really nice bag, but I don't want to schlep that on my shoulder down a whole concourse and you're running. And I'm just like, I ain't doing that life. So I got this bag. I really like it. It's small. It has a nice tall handle. It also has the thing on the back that you can slip it over the handle of your suitcase when you get your suitcase. Mm-hmm, so all kinds of pockets. So everything was really organized. It was really easy for me to get my laptop out when it's security. It worked really, really well. And I could hang my kind of purse on the handle of that, like tuck. Anyway, it worked really well. I will link that. Let me tell you a really quick story. So going to flying from St. Louis to DC, and I'm flying by myself. I did really good. First of all, my mental nervous didn't act up this whole
so
time.
Proud.
I know
so
I'm proud. Really excited. It takes two G&Ts to get me there, but I have my pre-flight routine down now, people. So I'm ready. When I go through security, I've got my little bag. I get everything out, all my electronics, my Kindle, my thing, blah, 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 blah. I've got my socks on with my plastic Birks so that I can take those off and shove them in the bin. I'm organized. I'm ready. Okay. Do all that. My carry-on, my purse, through. And they're like, they pull my carry-on to the side because they got to look at it. And I'm like, okay, which is fine. Sometimes they do that randomly. So whatever.
Right.
She's like, no, we need to take a look. So the guy takes over. They mind if I open it? I'm like, no, that's fine. He's like, do you have any books in here? I said, yes. And he said, that's the new guys that they don't know how to recognize books yet. So that they're going to think.
Oh my gosh.
So I got pulled over and looked in my bag. And sure enough, he unzips it. He's like, yeah, there they are. And they don't know how to, they can't see that recognize books yet. And I just looked at him. I said, well, you're going to have a long day. And maybe not, though. Maybe I'm the only one.
Maybe not. You may be.
That travels with a couple, like yeah. a notebook and a couple of books. And
yeah.
And I was like, so yeah, I got pulled over in airport security because I had books in my carry-on. You guys, the Lord needs to come. Last thing was another travel bag. It was a hanging toiletries, bag that you undo and unzip, and it is fantastic. It's by BagSmart. Again, I'll link it. It's a simple concept. There's nothing fancy about it, except it'll hold full size. Not if you want, like, again, this went in my suitcase, so it was whatever, but it holds a ton. You can get full size things in there. So even if you're not flying, if you're just traveling, the plastic in it, like the vinyl inside, is very nice. Like it just seems like a really good quality. The zippers, it held a ton. Like I ended up taking, I could have put more in it. And it was just really, really nice. And you can hang it or just use it out of your thing. So I just liked my travel gear. It just made my life so happy.
I'm so proud.
Thank you.
I'm so proud.
That's all I got. Oh, thanks everybody for listening. We really appreciate you. We appreciate those of you that are letting us know that you're listening, and we try to give a shout out. you know, as we hear from more people, and it's really, really fun. So thank you. Do we need to thank our sponsor?
Sure, absolutely. We'd like to thank Optimus Media. Give them a look up at their website. It's Optimus Media, media.com. And if you need any tech support of any kind, that they can help you out. Mm-hmm. They've gotten our website going, and
it looks good. Y'all go to over to our website. Go to, even if you listen to this on Spotify or whatever, go over there and check it out. All the recipes are there. I don't know if we've talked about this, but Optimus Media did a really good job, setting up the website and making it easy so that we can do what we need to do. And Joni's, all her recipes that she's talking about are there. We try to do the pictures. There's show notes, some pictures sometimes from, if you want some more, like from our episodes, we'll, if we talk about something, Joni will put some pictures up sometimes. So go check it out at designercornbreadpodcast.com and you can check it out. Yeah. What else you got?
There you go. I got nothing.
Me neither. We're done, man. We've been going a good amount of time.
Okay.
We'll wrap it up. So we will talk to everybody next week. Hope everyone has a great week and stay cool. Goodbye, cornbread.
See you, corn dog.
Like it. I don't even know. People are going to listen to this and be like, why in the world?
Why not?
Then they have to go back and listen to.
That's right.
Whatever episode that was. Should have been listening
from episode one, and then they know.
Yeah, then they would know. I don't know what episode that happened, but where all of a sudden you decided I was a corn dog. It's really embarrassing.
Oh, well.